to God and to the church, to the minister in charge, Bob and Shelley, to the deacons, and to the entire church. I'm excited to be standing before us this morning to share with us what God has for us this morning. And I am sure that when God speaks, then there's a message for each individual. So I'm confident about that we're going to take something home that is going to be useful for us in our work, first as Christians, and as a representative of God to show forth his good works. Amen. Permit me to say that the Word of God is multidimensional and multifaceted. So a verse can be interpreted through the help of the Holy Spirit in many forms and many ways, depending on what the Spirit wants us to hear part time. So this morning, I'll be sharing with us from the book of Jeremiah, as the beautiful Sophie has read. Thank you, Sophie, for that. 29 and verse 11. We talks about the plan of God for you and I. I'll take it from my NIV again, which says, I know the thoughts I have for you. They are the thoughts of peace, not of evil or disaster, to give you a hope and a future. Another version said, to give you an expected end. So, which means God is intentional about that statement for you and I. So, he has a purpose or an intention for speaking that word. So, and we are, as Christians, we understand that God respects so much every and any of his utterance, and once he says it, then he meant it exactly the way he has said it. And so this brought me to, I kept wondering and wanting to know more about that beautiful plan, that thought. I tell people that I'm sure I'm not here to pass time. There's this intention that God has for me and the purpose for my creation. So that has always been my thought and my thought line, which has helped me in my work as a Christian and as an individual. That if God says he has a plan for me, has a plan for you, then to what end? What are the intentions? What are the processes? What are the procedures? What are the steps? It's not saying it vaguely for me to sit down and just, okay, then what else? Well, what next? So I need to follow the process and understand what the line or the path, so to speak, to follow. So when Brian was speaking the other day, I was able to grasp something from his message to the church. When he said, we've been adopted, we have been appointed, and we have been anointed. So these are the three important A's for you and I as a child of God. So that means he is deliberate about our creation for wherever and whatever places put us at a particular point in time. It's not a matter of race, not a matter of gender, not a matter of ethnicity. For each and everyone that God has created, he has an intention for that. In the book of Jeremiah 1:5, he said something interesting to Jeremiah when he was commissioning him to start to give a message to the Israelites. He said, before the beginning of time, I have a plan for you. Which means, even before Jeremiah became Jeremiah, before coming to Israel, God has planned already and said, this is what you're going to do. So it's in the simplest form, if you give birth to a child, You have an idea of the name you want to give the child. You have an idea of the school you want the child to go. You have an idea of what. There's a kind of conception in you that this is, I've laid out how I want the life of my child to be. But it's what end? To make the child the best version of whoever he or she will be. You want the child to be able to express to the fullest capacity whatever potentials has been deposited in the particular child. So if we take that to the spiritual context, so when God is creating, he was not making a mistake. He was deliberate and said, okay, I'm putting you here at this time for a particular purpose. And in the book of Psalm 33:11, he said, his plan is firm. It cannot be shaken. It stands sure and forever. Amen. I did four puzzles to try and take us through this journey, and I'm trusting God that he's going to help us to understand much more better than how I can explain it. So the first puzzle, I'll need the youngsters to help us with that. We have puzzles scattered around the auditorium. I'm trying to look for the first puzzle. Who can help us with that? Okay. It's hidden somewhere around here. Okay, let someone get it for us, please. Thank you very much. Thank you. Unfortunately, there's no board, but I'll just show us from here. All right. Okay. Now, he has a plan for me. He has a plan for me. Can you say that? Thank you. That is the first puzzle. We are trying to put them together and see. Thank you. So, what are the plans if he has a plan for me? So what is the first step, or what do I feel, or what should be the first thing to understand about that plan? And for me, I said, it is, I have the second puzzle somewhere here. Somewhere here, who can help us? Oh, Sophie's not around. Can you help us, please? Come help us get it. Oh, Sophie, please come. Thank you. Oh, all right. Thank you. So, it says here, can you read it, please? To know him. Thank you. If he has a plan for me, then I need to know the planner. I need to know the planner. He illuminates us with heavenly knowledge when we get to know him. He illuminates us with truth when we get to know him. For want of time, I don't want us to go through the scriptural verses, but we can just note them down if you want to. We have the Proverbs 9:10. We have 1 Corinthians 2:10-12. We have Psalm 111 verse 10. And Psalm 32 verse 8. He enlightens us. So the first point of call is for God to introduce himself to us. A father will tell the child, I am your father. This is what are the things you need to know about me. So there needs to be a relationship and an understanding of who your father is. So he introduces himself to you as your father so that he can grasp the extent of his capacity, of his capability, of his might, of his awesomeness, of his uniqueness. So a child will flaunt his father because the father made the child understand who he is. And you can hear lots of child say, oh, my dad can do this, my dad can do that, my dad is strong, my dad can pull down the mountains. This has happened because the father had introduced himself to the son or the child, so to speak. So you have an understanding of who your father is. So the first thing God does in taking us through the plans and purpose he has for you and I is to introduce himself to us as the God of all flesh, as the I am that I am, as the beginning and the end, as the author and finisher of our faith, as the creator of heaven and earth. Then after knowing him and having a knowledge of who your father is now, then we go to the next step. And that is somewhere around here. Can someone get me the puzzle 3? Thank you. Thank you very much. Can we see this? So after knowing him, we are started with the next responsibility. And that's to do what? Make him known. Tell others about him. Tell people about how awesome your father is. Tell people about how competent your father is. Now you are saying this from a place of understanding. You are saying this from a place of confidence. You are saying this from a place of, I know who I am talking about. I speak because I have an understanding, because he has introduced himself to me. I know him, and I'm telling you about what I know about him. I've become a witness. He said in the book of Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, go ye therefore to every nation and tell them about who? About me. Now, Jesus was intentional when he was telling the disciples to do that. He has introduced himself to them over 3.5 years. And after doing that, and filling them with enough information about him, now said, you now need to tell others about me. Bob said, I think last Sunday or 2 Sundays ago, that even in the storm, it comes the storm. So you can, because you know him now, you can tell others that even when you are going through storm, I know someone that can what? Calm the storm. In the face of chaos, whatever it is, you can confidently say that I know my father, that even in troubles, even in times of troubles, he is the present help that we need. You can tell others that I know my father as the Prince of Peace. You can tell others that I know that I serve an intentional God. I know that I serve an awesome God. I know that I serve the God of all flesh. In the book of 1 Peter 2:9, he told us that we should be his ambassadors, a royal priest, an holy nation that has been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we need to have this understanding and be able to tell others that I'm representing him. I belong to a different kingdom, and I'm telling you how big and mighty my kingdom is, how big and mighty my father is, how big and mighty my son is. Imagine an ambassador from Britain going to one of the African countries. He goes in its full authority, in its full regalia, in its full might. And when it comes, you recognize, oh, this is an ambassador. So as someone that has the understanding of the God we serve, we should be able to carry that attitude, that charisma, that presence, and tell others about him. Now, don't forget, he's still tied to the thought he has for us. Because without understanding that he has a thought for us, we might not even decide to know him. Without knowing him, we can't tell others about him. Now, it's now taking us back to everything that The 30 years first I thought of peace, when you know me and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Now, what is that future that he's talking about? Which is the last puzzle, just behind Angela. Thank you. Thank you very much. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen.
To reign with him. And the beauty of this is that we are not going to wait till we get to heaven to reign with him. We'll start reigning with him here on earth as ambassadors, as representatives, as princes, as princesses. Because he said in the book of 2 Corinthians 3:18, that when we understand this knowledge, it begins to take us from one degree of glory to another. So which means we carry his very presence with us. We carry his glory with us. We carry his intentions with us. So when people see us, they easily recognize, you look different. You look amazing. You are not ordinary, because you are coming from somewhere. And that person told you that the plan is to give you an expected end, which is to reign with him. And I want us to read Revelations 5:10. I'll quickly flip through that here as we round up. Come in, please. Oh, sorry. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. We are to reign on earth, not as ordinary men, not as ordinary citizens, but someone from a glorious kingdom, and telling the world about him with confidence, and make people understand that I'm here representing in that capacity, in that knowledge, in that understanding, and I'm reigning with him here on earth. And what more, when we get to heaven, we'll reign with him. We continue to reign with him. But before we get to that heaven, we need to understand that we have to start reigning from here. And so the beautiful thing when he said is to give you an expected end. He's not telling you that now you have to wait till when you pass your time here on earth, then go to heaven. No, we have to start doing that while you're on earth. But if we don't understand and know him and don't introduce him, it might be difficult for us to reign with him. So I'm telling us as a child of God this morning that has been adopted, that has been appointed, and that has been anointed, that we have this responsibility to talk about him to everyone we meet, everyone we see, whatever opportunity that's given to us, at anywhere, at any time, and not leaving it at that. We need to start reigning with him. Can someone say amen to that? As we put the puzzles together, the understanding of this takes us back to the original intention of God for us as described in Genesis 1:28. He said, can we recite that? Genesis 1:28? He said, 1:28. I want someone to read that. Please. If we can. 1:28.
And God blessed them.
Yes, thank you.
And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it.
Thank you. Thank you. So he has given us what he wants us to do while reigning on earth. We should what? Be fruitful as Christians. We should multiply. We should what again?
Replenish the earth
and subdue it. So as Christians, we are to subdue the earth for our God, for our King, in our ways, in our conduct, in the way we speak, in the way we live, in the way we relate with others. Amen. There is a compelling witness in our spirit that tells us that these reports are true. We serve an intentional and dependable God, and he affirmed that even when heaven and earth passes away, his words will never go unfulfilled, because they are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. Can I?